Well, we're looking at being prepared to follow God's direction this evening. Our passage continues from what took place after we saw in chapter 45 about how Joseph himself revealed himself to his brothers. And now, as they were restored to one another, it was time that they traveled back again from Canaan to Egypt. Joseph told them to hurry up and go up to my father and tell him that God has made me Lord of all Egypt and of all my glory in Egypt, and that you shall hurry and bring my father down here. So I would like us to consider together our passage under these headings, that God was preparing his people. And we see that Pharaoh was prepared by God to direct Joseph. And Joseph was prepared by God to direct his brothers. And Joseph's brothers were prepared by God to direct Jacob. God prepared Jacob by his covenantal promise. So that's what we're going to look at. Pharaoh becomes aware that Joseph had brothers and that Joseph had revealed himself to them and his plans to send them back to Canaan and bring his father to him. And we read that it pleased Pharaoh and his servants well. Why was this pleasing to Pharaoh? We have seen that God used Joseph, who was the only one found who could interpret Pharaoh's dreams, troubling dreams, and that Pharaoh came to trust him and to use his wisdom to help in the preservation of his kingdom in the time of famine. You got it all, Joseph, you manage it. You get it done. And Pharaoh trusted him. And God was preparing Pharaoh, who was the only one, he was preparing Pharaoh to be used to further his covenant promises to Joseph, made with Abraham, Isaac, and his father Jacob. So Pharaoh, knowing Joseph's plans, he gladly gives the command to direct Joseph. And it was God's action in stirring up the heart of Pharaoh to command Joseph to tell his brothers to go and bring his father and that all he has back to Egypt, to come to Joseph and settle in the best portion of the land which Pharaoh had given to Joseph as a possession, a land for his people. Pharaoh would now provide all that was needed for the journey of his brothers, carts, silver, clothing, greater portion of silver and garments for Benjamin, along with 20 donkeys loaded with grain, 40 donkeys, bread and food for his father and for the journey back to Egypt. So God prepared Pharaoh to further his plans and use him, who was the most powerful and arguably the greatest ruler in the known world at that time, to direct Joseph. So secondly, we see Joseph was prepared by God to direct his brothers. How did God prepare Joseph? Well, God prepared Joseph by taking him through times of suffering and then by exalting him before Pharaoh. And he was brought low. God gave him the ability to interpret dreams, and through the being the favorite son of his father, he was rejected. He was placed in a pit by his brothers and then sold as a slave in Egypt, where we know all of this. He was falsely accused of assaulting Potiphar's wife, and then he was forgotten in prison. Years passed by, and Joseph was brought out of the dungeon and then exalted and placed second in Pharaoh's kingdom. And God continued to prepare Joseph in giving him wisdom from God in order to gain Pharaoh's trust, through the appointment of Pharaoh and giving him the authority and organizing the gathering of the grain into storehouses in the years of plenty, and to prosper Pharaoh's kingdom in the 7 years of famine, where people had to come and buy grain and see many lives saved. And God prepared Joseph, replacing him in the position to bring about restoration with his family. Now he's prepared and he's ready to direct his brothers to travel back to Canaan. So he begins by telling his brothers that they were to travel back, and he says to them, see that you do not become troubled along the way. He cares for his brothers so much. He knows in their coming and their going how they were afraid at times. And he tested them sorely. And he wanted them to repent and come out and see what they were. How could they go back to Canaan and then tell their father that Joseph is alive? Would his father chastise them? Would Jacob get upset because you told me all this time that Joseph was dead? And you remember, you know, that they became afraid when they saw the money that was put in their sacks. And that next time they go back, they have to bring Benjamin with him. And Jacob still believed this time that he'd been killed by a wild animal. Jacob believed that. Joseph had been killed by a wild animal. And he says, surely he's torn in pieces, and I've not seen his face since it. But if you take this one also from me and calamity befalls him, you shall bring down my gray hair with sorrow to the grave. So they were all frightened of what would come, and months go by before they return to Egypt. So now, after seeing Joseph and preparing to go to Canaan, they'll have to tell Jacob that Joseph is alive. Would Jacob be shocked and blame them for lying to him for 20 years? Well, Joseph wanted them to remain calm and trust, and not be troubled. So Joseph directs his brothers. And then thirdly, Joseph's brothers were prepared by God to direct Jacob. So they are encouraged to go. Strengthened by Joseph's words, the brothers go back to Joseph, or to Jacob, their father, and tell him that Joseph is still alive, that he's governor over all the land of Egypt. When Jacob hears this, his heart stood still. Perhaps he was breathless. He just could not believe what he was told. But as the brothers continued to speak to Jacob, and he saw the carts loaded with goods sent by Joseph, we read that the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. And let me read this. Then Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is still alive. I will go and see him before I die. We see here that Jacob is given another name here. And he's given this name before, but the test now shifts as Jacob's faith is expressed in this decision to go where God is directing him. He's got to have faith in everything that he's seen, to leave everything he knows, his land, behind. And it's now Israel who speaks. Some commentators point out that the change from Jacob to Israel is significant. One writer says that it highlights a moment of spiritual awakening and decisive faith, transitioning from his initial grief and disbelief, his spirit revives, and he moves forward with the confidence, faithful resolve of the patriarch Israel. So when Israel heard his sons, he moves forward. Now Israel is prepared by God and given faith to go to Egypt and see Joseph, his son. And then lastly, God continues to prepare Israel by reaffirming his covenantal promise. This is something God condescends to do for Israel. In chapter 46, verse 1, so Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices to the God of his father, Isaac. He pauses in his journey to stop at Beersheba, where his father and grandfather had called upon God and were given the covenant blessings. So he does the same and then offers sacrifices to God. Now God gives Israel further direction. God spoke to Israel in the visions of the night at Beersheba and said, Jacob, Jacob. He calls him Jacob now. Note that God spoke to Israel but calls him Jacob again. John Gill comments on the name changes and writes, Jacob, Jacob, not Israel, the more honorable name he had given him, but Jacob, putting him in the mind of his former low estate and doubling this name, either out of love and affection to him, or rather in order to awaken him, at least to stir up his attention to what he was about to say to him. So Jacob answers and says, "Here I am." Now God graciously spoke directly to Jacob and said, "I am God, the God of your father. Do not fear to go down to Egypt, for I will make of you a great nation there. I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also surely bring you up again, and Joseph will put his hand on your eyes." So God is confirming and moving all of these, his children of Israel, all of them together for his purpose to be revealed. And he comforts Jacob with these words, reaffirming his covenantal promise to him. And who would thought about the first time when he would have thought about the first time when he met God at Bethel, the place near Beersheba that he renamed where God met with him. And there, that was his covenantal promise he made to Jacob in the past. And he said, "I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you." And that would be in his mind as he was going now, after sacrificing at Beersheba, after God now also directly speaking to him again. He's confident to go. And he reminded that in him, his seed, all the nations will be blessed. How would that have happened? For 20 years, he thought, Joseph is dead. Benjamin is gone. You know, there's where his loved sons and all of the others are there. But how is this all going to happen? Well, after many years of uncertainty and difficulty, what was God doing in all of this for his covenant people? What was he doing? It was all in God's plan to weave together his people through preparing, guiding, and directing them, all in his purpose to fulfill his covenant promise to Jacob. He brought them all together through trials, tribulation, hardship, in order that they would see his hand of blessing in working out his ongoing plan of redemption that would one day would be fulfilled in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world. And Joseph, what did he have to go through? He had to travel from Canaan to Dothan when he was 17, where he found his brothers, who then sold him into Ishmaelite traders, who then took him to Egypt and sold him into slavery, then falsely accused by the wife of his master, was moved into a prison for about 13 years, and then released by Pharaoh and made ruler over the entire land. Joseph's brothers went from Egypt, from Canaan, back again to Egypt several times, afraid of what would happen to them. So they had to move all over the place. And that was hard for them. And in the past, Jacob fled from his home in Canaan when he fled from his brother Esau to Haran. He went to Shechem back in Canaan after making peace with Esau. And then to Hebron. He lived in Hebron for many years, reunited with his aging father Isaac until the famine comes. And now he's going to have to move to Egypt. They were all sent to places that were hard for them to go. How can we apply this now? How can we apply all that we have been thinking about this evening? How about you? Maybe you have lived in the same house all your life. Or maybe you have moved with your family when you were young. For some of us, we've moved more than once or twice, whether it was somewhere nearby or in a different country or overseas. And the reasons for moving might be the need for a larger house when you have a larger family and they grow, or to a college or a university or a new job, or to be near other family members, or to work as a missionary or move because of the church that you want to go to. All of these things are very good. But to move your home is not easy. It's not easy. And God directs us in our lives in ways that we never thought we would go. Whether we stay, whether we go. But his purpose is still the same as it was for Jacob and his entire family. Why are we here in the church? We have the same covenantal promise as Jacob was given, that in you and your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Do we believe that? Do we believe that he is using us to build his church, whether it's here or whether it's somewhere else, and that nothing will stop that? His promises and the gates of hell will not prevail against that work. So we're called to take these things that we've heard about the wanderings of his people. All were pilgrims, we read in Hebrews. We're like pilgrims. We don't have fixed abodes. Well, yeah, maybe for all of our life, maybe not. But we go places, we do things. And it's all in God's plan for us. He knows how to work with us and take us, each of us individually. He knows all about us. He knows all our desires. And are we prepared to follow God's direction for us? So let us preach. Let us pray together as his church. And by faith, that he will do all the things he's promised in his covenant towards us. And that we would be prepared wherever, in whatever circumstances, to follow. Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Matthew 16, verse 24. And know that all his covenant promises are all fulfilled in Christ, in Christ. Let us take encouragement from this word tonight, in how God orchestrated all this for his own glory and honor, and for the work that Christ will see, the work of his soul, and be satisfied when all is done in God's way and in God's time. Amen.